and verse 3. And we are going to jump into this book without very much introduction at all. So you can catch up as we go through. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, someone shout out, every place. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Canaan, or the promised land, or the holy land. When we look at that in Scripture, it is very critical and very important that we make the proper analogy. Canaan is not, everyone say it's not. It is not a type of heaven. Despite some old hymns and funeral songs that talk about crossing Jordan, and some people think that when you cross Jordan, that's a type of crossing into heaven. Not true. Because when they got into Canaan, there were still giants, there were still walls, there were still enemies, there were still things to conquer, there were still battles to fight. That's certainly not what we're looking for in heaven. Canaan, to make a proper analogy in Scripture, Canaan is a type of your promise. It is a type of what God has promised to give you, not in heaven, but right here in this life. And when you cross over into that land, there are still giants, there are still walls, there are still enemies, there are still things to conquer, there are still battles to fight. But thanks be to God who always giveth us the victory. Israel, in this book, is in the same place that we stand today. They are on the threshold of a new experience. They are on the way to a new level of living for God. They are a new generation. They are holding on to an old promise, but that old promise has never yet been possessed. I don't know what you think, but I know what God thinks. The greatest days of the church are not behind us. The greatest days of what God is doing are from right now, right up to the rapture. God is doing a new thing in the earth. And so God speaks to Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. So I want you to stand up. You're going to stand in his place. You're going to stand on his shoulders. If it hadn't been for Moses, there wouldn't been a Joshua. If it hadn't been for our forefathers and our pioneers, we wouldn't be here today. But God is not content to have us sit around every week and have a memorial service for our past. God wants to take his church into new territory. God wants us to possess the promise that he gave to our forefathers. If you believe it, say amen. Now, Moses died. Joshua stands in his stead, and God says, he repeats the promise that he gave to Moses, because Moses, in his generation, they had never possessed the promise God gave them. God said, I want you to go into that land. They sent out spies. The spies looked it all over, and they said, we're just little grasshoppers in the sight of that task, in the sight of that enemy, in the sight of what's against us, and so we can't do it. 10 of them came back with an evil report. But on that day, 40 years before this, there was something born in Joshua's heart, because he was one of those 12 spies. He didn't agree with the majority vote. He didn't agree with the cynics and the critics and the skeptics. He was one of two. And Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to go up and take that land. And he's been just frustrated for 40 years. He's been sitting around watching Israel squander their promise, wandering in the wilderness like a bunch of slaves for four decades, and it's boiled over in his heart. And now Joshua stands here, and God repeats the very same promise that he gave to Moses. He said this, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given that place to you. You can have whatever you tread upon. Now the word darak in the Hebrew doesn't mean you just take a walk and everywhere your foot lands, God just gives it it to you without a fight. If you go to Israel today and you attend a graduation service of their military, I've been there, stood there, watched it. They shout out, Darak! And that means take up your weapons and get ready for battle. And that's exactly what God was saying to Joshua. And it's exactly what God is saying to His church today. This is not a walk in the park. This is not a recreation room. This is not a game. This is a battle. The Christian life is a fight. It's a war. But we know we're on the winning side. And God filled you with His Spirit to do more than sit on a pew two or three or four times a week. God filled you with His Spirit so you could wage war against the enemy for the kingdom of God. If you believe that, raise your hand and shout amen. Because what we are doing as a church body is critical to the task of heaven in this community. And so God's word is the same to us as it is to Joshua. I am not going to give you what you slide into. I am not going to give you what you stumble into. I'm not going to give you what you sit around and wait for. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you every place that you fight for. Every place where you pick up your weapons and fight for it. God said, I'll give it to you. It's a done deal. The problem with Christians today is many of us, we've got the Christian life all translated into some kind of religious thing where we come to church and we really think of church as a place where we just kind of get our battery charged every week. Church is a place where we get instruction, where we take instruction, where we get a connection with God's Spirit as a body to go out and do something that impacts the kingdom of God. And so God says to Joshua, I'll give you every place you fight for. I'll give you every place where you walk over and you say, this territory is mine. God said, if you'll fight for it, I'll give it to you. Israel is on the precipice. They are on the threshold of transitioning into a brand new experience. Here's the word of God, Joshua 3, verse 3. They commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, that represents always the Spirit of God, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place. And what are the next three words? And go after it. Somebody say, go after it. Somebody say, go after it. That's the word of the Lord to Joshua. It's the word of the Lord to the church today. God said, when you see that ark representing my presence, when it moves anywhere, you go after it. Don't sit and watch it move. Don't sit and wait for somebody else to slap you upside the head and say, let's go after it. You go after it. Anytime God's presence moves, anytime God's power directs, anytime the Spirit of God speaks to the church, just go after it. That's where a lot of people mess up. That's where a lot of people make their mistake. Right now, God's Spirit has been talking to our church since the first week of September about the Word and about prayer and about evangelism and about our giving. God's been talking to us. And for everybody that's really part of this church, that you've got the DNA of what God's doing in this city. You've got it in your heart. You just go after that. When God talks to us about prayer, you're in prayer meeting. When God talks to us about the Word, you've got that Bible open every day. Because you've got that in your heart. Go after it. Somebody say, go after it. Somebody lift your hands and worship God. Because God is saying, go after it. Go after what I promised you. Go after what I've given to you. All you have to do is fight for it. Here's what the Word of God says. Yet, there shall be a space between you and the ark about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. In other words, don't be presumptuous that ye may know the way in which you must go. Look, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You can reject it, you can argue with it, or you can accept it. But God has given us a word in this church ever since September, and it's rolled right on into this year, that we are heading in a direction and to a level that we've never been before. I know a lot of people, they say, well, church is just go through cycles and it goes up and it goes down. I totally reject that. God has called this church through the gifts of the Spirit, through the preaching of the Word of God, through confirmation from other ministries that have stood right here on this stage. And God has said over and over and over again, you haven't gone where I want to take you before. This is not business as usual. It's not a repetition of something that happened a decade or 50 years ago. This is a brand new
new day and a brand new thing. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Get your junk together. Get your stuff together. Stop fooling around with the world. Stop sitting on the fringes. What you need to do is sanctify yourself. Get yourself ready for a move of God like you've never seen. You can't do that when you dabble in the world for 6 days and show up for God one day. You're only ready for that work of God when you're connected with His Spirit every day that you live. That's how you're ready for that work of God. And look at this. For tomorrow. Someone say tomorrow. In other words, it's coming up imminently. It's coming up very shortly. It's coming up very quickly. This isn't, Israel, another 40 years in your future. It is imminent. It is at the threshold. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. God is speaking to Israel. And God doesn't waste space or real estate in His Word. God is speaking to His church. The battles that Joshua fought 3,000 years ago have a lot to say to us today. Transitions. Everyone say transitions. Transitions are difficult, but transitions are necessary. If you've been a parent, you know that transitions are difficult. Your kids grow through different ages and stages. If you've been a church member, you know transitions are difficult. If you've been at work, you know transitions are difficult. But transitions are necessary for the church if we are to be all that God has called us to be. Now listen, the people of Israel have been landless. No land, no real estate, no property, no inheritance, no promise, no possession for 500 years. And now God says, take the land. It is your promised land. And it is at this point in their history that God begins to transition His people. He transitions them from a nomadic culture where they just kind of wander around and they're at the mercy of the shifting sands of the desert and they're at the mercy of every enemy that just kind of comes along. God begins to transition them from being nomads. And He begins to transition them from a slavery complex. Because these people lived in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. They have never known their own government. They have never known their own nation. They went into Egypt as a family and they turned into a nation because they grew. But they've never been a nation with freedom. They've never been a nation with possession. They've never been a nation that had God's promise. They have always been slaves. It's in their DNA as a nation to act like slaves, think like slaves, conduct themselves like slaves, and make their decisions like slaves. They even approach God as slaves. God is saying, this is a new point. I'm going to transition you from being wanderers, and I'm going to transition you from being slaves. I'm going to transition you from wandering, and I'm going to transition you from bondage. And I am going to give you a land. I am going to turn you into a nation of conquering warriors. Now here's the catch. It's the catch for Joshua, and it's the catch for us. You cannot act like wanderers and think like slaves and function like conquerors at the same time. That is the problem with so many Christians. They act like wanderers. They just go from one thing to another in their life. The devil throws something at them and they veer off course. The world throws something at them and they veer off course. Their own flesh throws something at them and they veer off course. You cannot act like a wanderer and function like a conqueror at the same time. And they function like slaves. They have a slave complex. They see themselves as a little grasshopper in the sight of all their enemies and situations. And so everything that comes down the pipe, they just accept it. They're fatalistic. Well, God must have wanted it that way. And I pray once and nothing happened. I prayed a couple of times and it didn't turn around, so God must intend it. You've missed the point. God said every place you set your feet and you say, I'm fighting for this, God said, I'll give you that. I'm not going to give you what you trip into. I'm not going to give you what you stumble into. I'm not going to give you what you happen upon or what you slide into or what you get easily, but I will give you what you fight for. Churches don't like to fight. They don't like to fight the enemy. They don't like to fight the battle. They don't like to go through transition. But can you sense, children of God in this congregation, can you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? God is calling us out of ourselves. God is calling us out of our past. God is calling us out of our mindset and our paradigm. And God's pulling on us to go to a new level. We have nobody to blame but ourselves if we just sit around for another 40 years like Israel did and just kind of wander. God's saying, I don't want you to wander. I don't want you to be a slave in your thinking. I want you to function like a conqueror. Man. God is not transitioning them to a place where there's no more battles. And God is not transitioning us to a place where there are no more battles. But listen, God transitioned them to a place, listen, where the battles became more strategic and where every battle had more significant results. You know, we fight some of the stupidest battles. We waste prayer time over trivia. Pastor fell on December the 8th, Saturday night after prayer, went out in the parking lot, fell flat on my back. Boom. Broke my elbow. Now that's really clumsy. But the reason we haven't been sitting around for the last month holding up pastor's arm in prayer, please pray for pastor. He had to take 3 Tylenol today. It's because it doesn't matter if pastor's got a broken elbow. That is not a significant thing to pray over. The elbow will heal. But I'll tell you what is significant to pray over. It's significant to pray over what is happening in the Spirit around our church. It's significant to pray over eternal issues. It doesn't matter if you came to church today with a headache. I'd love for your headache to be healed. But if your headache never gets healed, if you can just push yourself past the pain in your noggin that maybe I'm causing right now and just push yourself into the presence of God and reach out for something that will be still here a year from now. You can reach into something significant. We've got missionaries having crusades that need prayer. We've got churches needing to fight a battle in their city. They need prayer. And if you think we're going to waste time over one broken bone in somebody's elbow, you got another thing coming. I want my elbow to heal. I want your elbow to heal if it's broken. But I tell you what, I want to reach out for something far beyond the trivia. God is not calling them to a place where there's no more battles. He's calling them to strategic battles. God is not calling us to a place where we don't ever have to fight, but He would like us to use our prayer time and not waste it. He'd like us to use our prayer time on something significant, something influential. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? Principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's not one physical thing on that list. In fact, Paul says we are not wrestling against humanity. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against the physical. When we come to church, we are not trying to get through a religious service. What we're doing here today, if you catch it at all, is we are reaching for something beyond the physical. Can you see it at all? Can you sense it at all? That God is calling every Christian in this place to reach beyond your little immediate situation and reach into something great in 2008. Would you lift up your hands right now? If you believe that at all, if there's even a shred of faith in you, would you reach up your hand and say, God, I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to get what pastor's preaching. God, I want to reach for it in 2008. Now see, even right there, the physical pushes you down. The physical just kind of reminds you. Your mind's racing right now. All of your situations, all of your prayers that didn't get answered. But God's saying, would you just leave that behind? That's really trivia. Would you just look toward the next year? And would you go where I'm calling you to go? Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say a new thing. God wants to do a new thing in our midst. Jesus talked about it in Luke 5. I don't have time to read the whole verse. He said, nobody puts new wine into old wineskins, because if you put new wine into old wineskins, they'll burst and the wine will be spilled and wasted. You see, if you put new wine into an old wineskin, the old wineskin is too dry to stretch as the wine matures and changes and ferments. So Jesus is saying new wine has to be put into fresh wineskins. Wineskins that are pliable. Wineskins that will bend and move. And Jesus is not talking about wine or wineskins. He's talking about His kingdom. And He's making a physical application to a spiritual principle. You cannot put the new things God wants to do into a dead, dry church that doesn't even know how to respond to the move of God's Spirit. You cannot put the new things God wants to do into a dead, dry Christian that their last experience with God was 35 years ago on a Sunday night. You cannot do it. But Jesus is saying, if you'll get those wineskins pliable and fresh, I'm going to pour new wine into those new wineskins. We need to have our wineskins renewed. We can experience revival. We can experience renewal. We can experience restoration. That is when God brings us back to something we had before. If you'll take this statement in context, this will sound horrible alone, but in context, this is absolutely true. I am getting so tired of preaching about revival. Because revival restores what we had before. I don't want to go back to what we had before. That is not enough for a brand new generation facing all the brand new junk we've got in our society. We need more than to revive what we had a few years or a few decades ago. We need a brand new, fresh move of God in our midst. That applies to the youngest member of our church. That applies to the oldest member of our church. Don't give me that stuff. Well, we used to do it this way. That's great if you're still doing that and even more today. We used to pray this way. Well, you can't go back to what you prayed like back then, because all that has is enough power for back then. If you haven't grown since back then, God is calling you to a brand new level of prayer and worship. God is calling you. Some people don't want new wine. Jesus said it. He said, no man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. He says this, listen to this, the old wine's better. Jesus said, that's what a lot of people say. Why push? Why strive? Why reach? Why pray? Why worship? Why believe? Why go for something brand new? Why do that? I'm perfectly happy with my old wine. I'm perfectly happy the way it is. And Jesus is saying what they don't realize is their wineskin is so dry and empty that they can't have a move of God's Spirit. God is ready to do a new thing. Are we ready to receive it? That's the only question. Isaiah 43, verse 19. God said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now. Everyone say now. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God wants to do a new thing. Now, we're pushing today, and we're going to push against the clock a little bit, and I'm very aware of what time it is, and I need about 5 extra minutes of your precious time, because God wants to do something in our midst today. Everyone say now. Everyone say today. Everyone say a new thing. Everyone say go for it. That's what we need to do today. We can learn an important lesson about spiritual transition from every battle, every conquest in the book of Joshua. Here's the first one, the first city they conquered, Joshua 6, verse 15. We read about it in chapter 2 when they sent spies in, and we read about the conquest in 6, verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout. Someone say shout. Someone shout, shout. For the Lord hath given you the city. Now the city of Jericho, we learn some important lessons right here. Let me give them to you real quick. First of all, they have been here before. Someone say, we've been here before. You've been in services where God called us to dedicate. You've been in services where there was a powerful move of God's Spirit. We have been here before. In fact, they have been here 6 times before. They've been here day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, and day 6, and now it's day 7. They've been here before. And they've also done this before. They've marched around the walls before. You say, we've done this before. We've raised our hands before. We've shouted to the Lord before. We've danced in the Spirit. We've leaped for joy. We've prayed. We've done all of that before. So have they. They've marched around the walls before. Some of them know just about every turn in the wall around the city of Jericho. They recognize every bush. They recognize every rock. They recognize every tree and landmark because they've done this for 6 days. They've been here before and they've done this before. But today is the seventh day. And here's what God tells them to do. It's absolutely ridiculous. Einstein wouldn't think this was very smart because Einstein said insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So Einstein wouldn't like this, but God likes this. They do the same thing in the same place as they've done for 6 days. But this time, here's the key. They ramp up the intensity. They do it seven times on the seventh day. God isn't calling us to do something freaky or way off the beaten path. He's just calling us to do with more intensity what we've always been doing. He's calling some elders that have had a prayer life for 50 years to ramp up the intensity on your prayer life. He's calling some young people that you've already been around church a couple of decades or a decade and a half, and God is calling you to ramp up the intensity of what you're doing. When you worship, now is the time. This year is the time to do it with more intensity. You say, but we've been here before. Yes, we have. We've done this before. Yes, we have. But God is calling His church. If you can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, God is calling us to do the same thing, but with fresh intensity. Because on the seventh day, when they marched around the wall seven times, that's when God did the miraculous. Same thing, same place, same people, but new intensity. Jericho, it seems ridiculous. The only thing they add in Jericho is at the end of the seventh time on the seventh day, when they are so tired of walking around that wall and they've probably had things thrown at them by the inhabitants of Jericho. They've had insults, they've had mocking, they've had everything, maybe even weapons fired. And they are tired of walking around the same wall in the same place on the same path. But Joshua said, now that we've ramped up our intensity, shout to the Lord with a conqueror's shout, because the Lord has given you the city. He has kept His promise that every place where the sole of your foot treads, every place that you're willing to fight for, God said, I'll give you that. Here's the question for this morning. Are you going to believe what you see, what you feel, or are you going to believe what God says? Joshua was ready to believe what God said. He had been one of those original spies. He had been sent into the promised land 40 years earlier. He was in a minority of 2 against 10. But he's been ready for 40 years to possess this promise. And so he is chomping at the bit. He has seen God's people wander in the wilderness for nearly half a century while they should have been living in Canaan all that time. It's about time that we realize what God would like to do with His church in the last days. With all respect to everything we've done up till now, if you can sense it at all, if there's a spiritual pulse and heartbeat, can you hear what God is saying? He's not calling us to a new direction. He's calling us to the same direction. He's just calling us to do what we've always done and believe what we've always believed and practice what we've always practiced, but to do it with a fresh intensity. Would you lift up your hands like the end of this service depended on it? And would you worship God with all of your heart for a couple of minutes? Because the secret is, at the end of this service, and this year does depend on what we do in moments like this, it does depend on how intense we are for God. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Someone that just shows up, God doesn't promise you anything. But they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You say, but my body doesn't feel like it. My emotions don't feel like it. My energy level doesn't feel like it. What does that matter? That's trivia. But there's something greater that God is calling us to in the Spirit. There's a different level. There's a different level. There's a different level. Excuse us if you're visiting with us while we step into our destiny for a minute, because God has called us to new heights. God has called us to new places. God has called some of you individual Christians to new places. God has called you. Are you listening? God has called you. Are you listening? It's the same message. It's the same Spirit. It's the same prayer. It's the same worship. But it's time for a brand new intensity. Yes, 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 yes. It's just beginning to dawn on us. Pastor, we've been here before. Yes, we have. But it's still a new day. Pastor, we've done this before. Yes, we have. But it's still a new day. Because it's a day for new intensity. It's a day for new intensity. Who are you fighting for? Pastor, I'm fighting for my daughter. Pastor, I'm fighting for my son. Pastor, I'm fighting for my husband or my wife. Pastor, I'm fighting for my parents or my kids. Who are you fighting for? God said, every place where you set your foot and you say, I will not be denied. I'm going to fight this till my last breath. I'm going to fight this until my last breath. Every place that you set your feet, I'll give to you. Just stay right there. Just stay right there. You're good. You're good. You don't have to sit back down. Just stay right there. One more scripture. This isn't the end of the sermon, but it's where God wants us today. Joshua 6, verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And when they do that, something that's so retarded and ridiculous that it defies description, we're going to stand at the foot of our battle and scream at it. How sensible is that? That's not sensible at all. Unless you're crying to the Lord. That's not sensible at all. Unless you're calling on the name of the Lord. And then it starts to make a whole lot of sense. Because when you call on the name of the Lord, He answers. When you make a long blast with the ram's horn. There were two trumpets in ancient Israel. There were the silver trumpets. They were the most expensive. If you will, they were the most classy. If you will, they were the most distinguished. There were the silver trumpets. And the silver trumpets they gave a very refined and defined sound. And Israel always used the silver trumpets to call for important events, like the beginning of a feast day, or when they call people to battle. Every time they called people to battle, they sounded the silver trumpets. But Joshua said, you make a long blast with the ram's horn. The word in the Hebrew is jobel. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the word in the Hebrew is shofar. He said, when you hear the shofar jobel, that is the horn of jubilee. He said, when you hear the horn of jubilee sound, I want you to start worshiping God. Because God has already given you the city. They never blew the ram's horn to call people in battle. And at Jericho, with walls in front of them that were 12 feet thick, and then another wall in between, and then a wall that was 6 feet thick, at those walls, at that massive obstacle, they never sounded the silver trumpet to call people to battle. You know why? Because there was no battle to call them to. God was going to fight their battle if they just do what He said. So they blew the shofar jobel. They blew the horn of jubilee. They blew the horn of celebration. And they celebrated the victory before they ever had a victory to celebrate. And that is what God is saying to our church. Celebrate the victory before you have it. Celebrate the victory before you touch it. Celebrate the victory before you taste it. Celebrate the victory before you feel it. Celebrate the victory. Blow the horn of jubilee. You know what happened on jubilee? Everybody got their possessions back. Some of you, the devil has taken so much stuff from you and you've taken it lying down. It's time to sound the horn of jubilee. You are not fighting for the victory. You are not praying for the victory. You are not worshiping for the victory. You are worshiping from victory. You are praying from victory. You are standing in your victory. Worship God. Shout, for the Lord has given you your promise. Shout, for the Lord has given you your promise. You say this is just another year. Not so. This is the year of Jubilee. You say, we've been here before. Not this way, we haven't. You say, we've done this before. Not this way, we haven't. It's time to blow the horn on Jubilee. It's time to pray from victory. Your answer is already in heaven. God's waiting to pour it out on a people that will fight for it. Your destiny is already in heaven. God's waiting to pour it out on a people that will fight for it. Go for it. You might as well go for it. If nobody else goes there, I'm going there. If nobody else goes for it, I'm going for it. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new time. It's a brand new year. I wish we could have a bunch of the rest of you join us at the front. If you're part of our church family, we need you up here. God wants to touch you. God wants to minister to you. It's a brand new day. You say, I've done this before. Yes, we have. But this is a time of destiny. I've been here before, Pastor. Yes, you have. But it's a time of destiny. It's a time of destiny. Now every person, old or young, new, or if you've been around for a long time, could you lift your hands in the presence of God? Do something ridiculous and praise God for the answer that's already on the way that you've never seen yet. Somebody, can you get it in your mind? The picture of that daughter praying in this altar. Somebody, can you get it in your mind? The picture.